Amen. Thank you, worship team. Bless you guys. Good to have you all involved. I need your help this morning. I need you to engage your sanctified imaginations to fill in the picture. Because I've got a picture in my head, and I would love to be able to get it out to you. Thank you. I need the shofars to blow, and I need the trumpets to sound. I was going to torment our video team, and I might for second service, depending on how good your imagination is, and maybe we'll do something then. I need the shofars to blow, and I need the trumpets to sound. Why? Because the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. In Isaiah 40, starting in verse 21, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles, and they'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. Don't you feel better already? I mean, really. We live, just in case you've missed out lately, we live in a world of turmoil, chaos, and change. And we wrestle with fear. And fear can begin to take root. And if it takes root, it becomes our motivational force. Fear is the thing that pushes us in our decision making, that directs us in our choices. And fear is a lousy master. If we allow fear to establish a foothold, then we neglect God's word, who said, "Fear not. I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." We watch and Listen to the news. Some of us still read newspapers. And we grow frustrated and fearful, fretful. And so we turn off the TV and we put away the newspaper and we turn to the internet. And it goes from bad to worse. We hear and embrace conspiracy theories. We embrace them because in our fear and unsettledness, we find a sense of control and power if we think we know. If we think we have understanding that others don't. And we neglect the word of the Lord, who said, "The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people." He said, "Do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Don't dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He's the one you are to fear. He's the one you are to dread, and he will be a sanctuary, a safe place, a hallowed place." We look at our financial situation. We don't like what we see in the bottom line of our tallies, our checkbooks, our ledgers. We check the financial reports. And we listen to those who are supposed to know about these things. And fear nibbles and gnaws. And we neglect the word of the Lord. The Lord who said, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these." Now, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow's thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?" For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, these necessities of life, will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The storms may roar. The nations may rage. The leaders and the media may conspire. There may be wars and rumors of war. You hear reports of flying saucers. And any day now, the story will break that the flying monkeys have been loosed on the earth from the Wizard of Oz. And we neglect the word of the Lord. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Therefore, Psalm 37, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, you'll not find them. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. Did you know that God has favorites? We have three daughters, and they always goad my wife and I into trying to get us to admit who our favorite is. They claim to know, and they say, you might as well admit it. But we never do. However, God does have favorites. He loves us all. But he said of David that he was a man after his own heart. And he doesn't say that about too many people. And this man after God's own heart, who wasn't perfect, but who knew when he stumbled, when he fell, when he went the wrong way, who knew where he had to turn and what he had to do. So David, one of God's favorites, writes this in Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I will not neglect your word. To neglect is here to forget, to ignore, to wither. It indicates a lacking of memory or a willful forgetting. We need, brothers and sisters, we've always needed to do this, but in this day, at this time, we need to make a decision, a lasting decision. And we need to make this decision over and over and over again. And that is to stand with David and declare, I will not neglect your word. I will not neglect the reading of it. I will not neglect the rejoicing over it. I will not neglect the confessing of God's word. I will not neglect, by God's grace and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, walking your word out in my life. We cannot, we must not neglect the word of the Lord. Because if we allow our mind, our heart, our spirit to become filled with, overloaded with the news and the wisdom of this world, if we allow our minds to get hooked by the conspiracies that are voiced out there, by people who have voiced conspiracy after conspiracy, and even though each one before has failed, they offer a new one, and people latch on. If we get overloaded with what this world has to offer, we will grow spiritually weak and sick, and end up in frustration, confusion, fear, and despair. Don't go there. If you've already gone there, come on back. It's not too late to turn around. Join with David. I will not neglect the word of the Lord. And so let us decide, as God's people, as his children, his daughters, his sons, And I suspect he's got a few favored children scattered here in the midst somewhere. Just don't brag about it. Let's decide to live in Psalm 27. One thing I ask of the Lord, and that is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, today, tomorrow, the day after, in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. And then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. And at His tabernacle I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do not neglect the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's stand and bless the Lord.
Thou givest to both great and small. In all life Thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth Thee. Almighty, victorious, Your great name is glorious. Almighty, victorious, Your great name we praise. Almighty, victorious, Your great name is glorious. Almighty, victorious, Your great name we praise, O Lord.
Well, welcome back to the first service in the new age of Church of the Living God. Somebody asked me earlier, are you doing okay? Became aware that you know, pastors, a lot of pastors are dropping out during this time. So much is going on. And I said, I'm mostly doing okay. But my wife asked me the same thing last night. And I said, well, I think I'm okay. But I just watched Kevin Costner in the movie, I think it's called Draft Day, and found myself wanting to weep in several places. How do you weep over Kevin Costner? Great movie, though. Yes, it is. If you're a football, even if you're not a football fan, great movie. I am doing fine, honest. But we have gone through so much change and continue to go through so much change. And our refuge has to be in the Word. And I would tell you that our dominant input has has to be the word or we will end up in trouble. We will start thinking as the world thinks, start feeling as the world wants us to feel, start acting as the world acts. But we need to stay faithful and not neglect the word of the Lord. God's word is life and light. It is nourishment to our souls, our spirit. And if we will consume it, we will benefit from that impartation of life from God. If we don't, or if we consume more of other things, the word will be diminished and crowded away. Our thinking will get funny. Our hearts will be confused and clouded. And we will end up seeing our passion for God grow cold. No. Do not neglect the word of the Lord. Embrace it as what it is. It is the word of the Lord for you. Not just for the people sitting around you. For you. So, Father, would you help us? Would you restore our appetite for your word? If we're new at this, would you impart to us a ravenous appetite for your word that will never diminish? God, and as we go to the word, may we meet you there. Would you whisper sweet things in our ears? Would you guide us and guard us through the precepts and principles that are there? Would you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, through whom the word is inspired, transform us, change us as we spend time in your word? God, hold us fast, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.